Let's go out to dinner and see a movie. All right, it's Friday here on The Takeaway, and that's movie day. You know that. Today we're discussing the international movie phenomenon, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That's already the top. It's already the top-grossing film in Scandinavian history. It's a cold case murder mystery. It's been gradually opening in theaters around the U.S. over the past several weeks and building buzz. It's got enthusiastic audiences and stellar reviews and rumors of a Hollywood adaptation. That's what we call a buzz. Emily Rems is managing editor for Bust Magazine, and she's here to tell us why she thinks this action movie has managed to attract so many fans, including herself, despite being Swedish and subtitled. And of course, Rafer Guzman, Takeaway movie contributor and Newsday writer, is also here with his opinions on whether the film lives up to all that hype. And that's why I'm going to start with you, Rafer. Give us the encapsulated premise. Give us the brief summary on The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo here. A lot of people have read the book.
Sure. Basically, it's pretty faithful to the book. You've got a financial journalist named Michael who has been disgraced. He's done a story and that proved to be false. And after that happens, he is essentially hired by a gentleman, older man, to track down his daughter who went missing 40 years ago. Dovetailing into that is this young punk rock hacker girl who's been tracking Michael's journalism career, and she eventually kind of gets sucked into the case with him, and the two of them solve that murder. It's a little all over the map, but I do like the film. I do think it's a lot of fun.
Some graphic scenes of sexual abuse, rape, and revenge, certainly not the only movie to display that. You know, Kill Bill had that kind of imagery. How does this movie handle it, Rafer?
Well, it has that kind of Scandinavian grim feel to it in some points. I think actually those scenes, many of which involve the girl, are really the most compelling, and she's the most compelling character in it because she's, you know, she's a fighter, but she's not sort of La Femme Nikita. She's not a superhero. She's scrappy. You know, she takes a lot of abuse, but she gives it back. She's not, you know, beautiful. She rides a motorcycle, but when she takes her helmet off, it's not as though she's shaking out this volumized cascade of hair. She's just got this kind of crummy punk haircut. And that's what's, I think, kind of cool about her.
Well, Emily Rems, the original Swedish title for this film was Men Who Hate Women. So you see this, certainly the creators might have seen this as a feminist film. Do you see it that way?
Definitely. The author of the original book series, Stieg Larsson, is a leftist journalist, a vocal feminist throughout his life. And he really wrote trying to address social issues primary in this particular book, feminism and the inequalities that women face. And I really think that they didn't shy away from that when they made the movie.
Are feminist, I don't want to say ideals, but feminist imperatives addressed in a way except for just tit for tat, violence for violence, and revenge for revenge here?
I think they are in more subtle ways. I think especially with the central character, Lisbeth Salander, who's played so beautifully by Noomi Rapace, there's this sense that she is the action heroine of a suspense film, and she does nothing to pander to the desires or to curry the favor of men in any way. There's no, like, using her sexuality to gain favor. She's actually incredibly antisocial. She has her own agenda, and she sticks to it throughout the film. And it's very rare to see any kind of movie, especially an action movie, with a central heroine who's not Tomb Raider jiggling through a cave somewhere.
Sure, absolutely. And even in Kill Bill, Uma Thurman was in the yellow jumpsuit, which was sexy, even though she was seen as a bit of a feminist hero as well. Hey, Rafer, a Swedish film with subtitles. I know a lot of people, and just in my group of friends, who right away aren't going to go see this film based on that. Should they shy away from that prejudice?
Yeah, I think the film is really worth seeing. I mean, when you get right down to it, it's really just kind of a good detective movie based on a piece of genre fiction, really. And it's, you know, it's got, like you were saying, it's based on a cold case, which is always fun. You know, it's got the nefarious family members who are all trying to stop the guy from finding out what happened, dark hidden secrets. I mean, all that stuff is great, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, the subtitles, you know, I think they're easy to get over. And I also think that people ought to see this one now, because who knows what Hollywood is going to do when they remake this thing.
There are movies like Water for Chocolate where the people say the subtitles actually helped the movie because it gave them a certain amount of vagueness that the audience kind of interpret what was going on? I mean, do you think that's what's going on in this movie, Emily and Rafer?
I tend to forget that things are subtitled when I watch them. I oftentimes forget that they were not in you know, some other language. Huh. That just is like a thing my brain does.
Yeah, the movie is so exciting. The fact that you're reading kind of fades away, certainly.
And keeps you engrossed on the action. Well, Emily, you think do you think the feminist message would survive a Hollywood remake?
I shudder to think. You know, yeah. I hope so, but to me, the idea that they're trying to remake it would be tantamount to us hearing that in Sweden they're going to remake The Godfather for Swedish audiences. You know, it's so regionally specific. The acting is so magnificent. It would just make you tear your hair out, but I know they're going to anyway.
All right, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, a big Swedish export. Emily Rems and Rafer Guzman, it's time for trivia. Talk about another Swedish export here. Emily, I'm going to start with you because we got to go to trivia. We're talking about Ingrid Bergman, of course. I'll give you a shot at this. Can you name any of the three films for which Ingrid Bergman won an Oscar?
Casablanca.
Oh, no, indeed. You have another guess?
No.
Rafer?
If it's not Casablanca, I'm out.
I know two of them.
Oh.
All right, Celeste?
Anastasia.
Correct, 1957.
And Murder on the Orient Express, right?
Also correct. Best
Supporting
Actress, 1957. Excellent. The third one is Gaslight, 1945.
Oh, Gaslight.
That was her first actress.
That was an
Best
Oscar
Actress,
winner?
Yeah. Yeah, Celeste. Well, Celeste wins the prize today. Unfortunately, she's not eligible.
Things I didn't know I knew about Ingrid Bergman. If you love movies and you want to get more, get a new podcast with a Movie Tate. It's on our website every week. Today we had Rafer Guzman, our Newsday film critic, and Emily Rems. But, you know, on the podcast, we have Rafer Guzman joined with our producer, Kristen Meinzer.
And the podcast is incredible. We want to hear from you also at 8778MyTake. We want you to post to the website. We're trying to ask today, what can your city cut to save money? It's important because budget cuts are happening all across the country. I'm Todd Zwillikin for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.